You know, the world is always telling us to speed up.
Constantly.
We're constantly trying to optimize, to maximize, just rush toward the next goal.
Yeah.
But today we're going to tackle something that, well, it runs completely counter to that.
It's this idea that the fastest path to getting more presence, more power, even more patience is to do the exact opposite.
To slow down.
Exactly. It's the ultimate paradox. And the author, Scott Howard Swain, really dives into it in chapter 23 of his book, A Practical Empath: Rewire Your Mind. The chapter is called, appropriately, Slowing Down Time.
Okay, so our mission for this deep dive is to really explore the actionable practices in that chapter, the things that make time feel like it's expanding.
And we're not talking science fiction here.
No, not at all. It's about increasing the quality of your experience so you're actually, you know, living your life instead of just fast-forwarding through it.
And this all ties directly back to the book's core framework, the Practical Empathy Practice, or PEP.
PEP. And you
Wow.
just can't do it successfully if you aren't present.
And presence, by its very nature, requires you to slow down.
The chapter kicks off with this really interesting self-check. He kind of anticipates that people will skip ahead in the book.
Oh, he knows it. And he asks you, if you did that, to translate that feeling, that rush, into a PEP perspective.
So instead of that inner voice calling you a, what is it, a shortcut-taking, lying, cheating cheater,
Which is pretty harsh.
yeah. The PEP version is to ask, did you skip ahead because you were bored and wanted more mental stimulation?
That's such a critical shift, isn't it? It turns what feels like a moral failing into just data.
Data about an unmet need. It's self-empathy, which you have to have before you can have empathy for anyone else.
So if we're all tempted to rush like this, what's the actual cost? I mean, beyond just feeling stressed out.
Well, the cost is huge, and it's physiological. The book draws a straight line between rushing through life and chronic stress,
Which means cortisol.
constantly spiking your cortisol. And that's the body's main stress hormone, and its job, when it's always on, is to signal the body to store fat. So rushing is basically an anti-diet. You can't speed your way to being healthier because your body is actively working against you at a metabolic level.
Exactly. Slowing down isn't just some, spiritual nice to have. It's a real tool for physical well-being. And the book gives us a very accessible starting point.
At the dinner table.
At the dinner table, mindful eating is kind of presented as the training wheels for presence.
The logic being, if you can't even slow down enough to taste your food, you're probably speed running everything else in your life.
Almost certainly. So the book gives some tangible steps. First, just take a few deep breaths before you even start. Notice any tension and let it go.
Then actually look at your food. I
Right?
mean, really look at the colors, the shapes, the
It's a
smells.
core technique. The thing that is like non-negotiable to make this work is that you have to put your fork or spoon down between every single bite.
That's the commitment device, isn't it?
It is.
That pause makes it intentional. It forces you to actually finish what's in your mouth before you even think about the next bite.
It connects your physical action to your senses. You're forced to notice the textures, the flavors unfolding as you chew, and the side effects are immediate better digestion. You tend to eat less.
And the book brings up the social side of this, which I thought was brilliant. That anecdote about the fast eater on a first date.
Oh, everyone knows this person. The date's going fine, the food arrives, and suddenly one person is just shuffling, making those, unpleasant rushed eating sounds.
And the person watching just immediately clocks it as a lack of presence.
Total lack of presence.
And you can't help but wonder, if they can't be present for this nice meal, how on earth are they going to be present for me? It damages the connection right there.
That's the whole point. A lack of presence kills relationships, whether you're trying to practice PEP or just enjoy dinner with someone.
Okay, so if we're trying to retrain our attention, let's talk about the big one. Meditation. Most people have a very specific image of what that means, but the book defines it much more broadly.
It really does. It kind of throws out the idea that meditation is only about sitting on a cushion and, navel gazing. The definition in the chapter is simply anything you focus on to the exclusion of all else.
But isn't that risk being a little too broad? I mean, if all it takes is focus, does that kind of dilute the real work that's associated with traditional meditation?
That's a fair question. But the definition works because the shared goal of almost any meditative practice maps directly back to the goals of PEP.
Okay, what are those goals?
Knowing yourself better,
Yeah.
becoming less reactive, reducing your stress and the physical symptoms that come with it, like hypertension.
So the activity itself isn't as important as the quality of attention you bring to it.
Precisely. If the focus is singular, you get the benefits. Self-knowing, patience, being in the moment, all things that make your practical empathy practice stronger.
This makes his list of surprising meditations really interesting.
Right. I mean, obviously things like sex or masturbation fit the definition because they demand that kind of singular focus. But so does something like cooking a meal.
The one that really jumped out at me is reading. He says just reading about other people builds empathy, which makes sense. He specifically calls out science fiction. Why that genre in particular?
Because good science fiction forces you to inhabit a perspective that is completely alien to your own. You might be seeing the world through the eyes of a robot or a non-human consciousness.
So it's an exercise.
It's an incredible low-stakes exercise in walking in someone else's shoes. It stretches your capacity for PEP beyond just the everyday human context.
That's a great way to think about it. It's not just an escape, it's advanced empathy training. Okay, let's bridge this idea of focus from stillness to movement. The chapter spends a lot of time on moving meditation, especially Tai Chi.
And with Tai Chi, the slowness is everything. It's not just for show. It is fundamental neurological training. When you move that slowly, you're giving your nervous system time to find optimal balance.
And the brain has time to integrate all that information, right? The joint positions, the muscle feedback.
Exactly. So you're not just reducing stress. You are improving your motor efficiency. You're enhancing cognitive function. The book notes that this is why it's so effective at reducing falls in older adults, that mind-body link gets so much stronger.
And this is where it gets really fascinating, because he ties this slowness directly to speed and performance.
Yes, his personal experience. He also practices Shaolin Kung Fu, and he talks about what happened when he started doing Tai Chi regularly.
This is the martial arts hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
He felt like he was becoming almost precognitive when he was sparring.
His opponents started to seem like they were moving in slow motion.
So what's the theory there?
The hypothesis is that all that slow, consistent practice fine-tunes your perception. It makes you incredibly sensitive to the little micro movements that happen in the split second before an action. A tiny shift of weight in a foot, a shoulder tensing up just before a punch.
And because his brain has wired those slow movement pathways so strongly, his subconscious picks up on those signals faster than thought.
And his body just responds. A block or a dodge materializes before the opponent is even fully committed to their attack.
So the opponent isn't actually moving slower.
Not at all. You've just slowed down time and your own perception enough that you can choose an action instead of just having a frantic reaction.
That is the perfect metaphor for how to handle life's conflicts, isn't it? Slow down your inputs so you can speed up your intelligent response.
It's a total game changer.
So if we tie all this together, mindful eating, reading sci-fi, slow martial arts, the conclusion seems pretty clear.
It is. Practice in any one of these areas of presence makes you better at all the others. They all feed into each other, and they all strengthen your PEP skills.
And this isn't some new idea. The chapter grounds this in some pretty timeless wisdom.
Yeah, he quotes Lao Tzu, "Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished," which is the very essence of Wu Wei effortless action.
Then there's Thoreau, going to the woods to live deliberately and not discover that I had not lived. It's that search for intention over just, you know, frantic activity.
And my favorite, Marcus Aurelius, the original efficiency expert, who said the path to tranquility is to do less, better.
And his constant question was, is this necessary?
A question we should probably all ask ourselves about 100 times a day.
It's such a powerful filter. It cuts through all the noise. So if the main takeaway is that slowing down literally trains your brain to be here now, What's one immediate thing someone listening can do to feel this shift?
We want to leave you with a final challenge from the book. It's an exercise designed to immediately shift your perspective, and it's called the alternative perspective in your space exercise.
Okay, so you choose a spot in your home you use all the time, like your office or your kitchen, but then you find a physical place in that room where you have never been before.
Right, like sit on the floor in a corner you always ignore. Or maybe even lie down under your desk or a table somewhere new.
You just stay there for 10 or 15 minutes.
That's it. No phone. Just observe the space from that new, unusual vantage point. Notice details you've never seen. See how the change in angle makes the room feel different.
And pay attention to how that simple physical shift changes how you feel emotionally.
Exactly. It's a quick, powerful way to train your brain to see what it normally ignores, and it's a great reminder that perspective is everything.
A perfect first step for practicing presence. Go find your weird spot.